I think that I think all of us in here would agree that we want our life to have some significance. And I think that sometimes we're prone to think in our minds, well, you know, if we don't do something amazing, if we don't do something incredible, if we're not famous, if we're not, then our life really doesn't have that much significance. And what I want you to see is that's so wrong, because at the end of your life, you want to be able to look back at your life and know that it had meaning, and it can. You don't have to be rich, you don't have to be famous in order for your life to truly have significance and meaning. I really want to emphasize that. You can just be a common, everyday, ordinary person, just like we said the 12 disciples were. And so Jesus taught his disciples how to make their lives count and how to have real significance with your life. In Matthew 22, they said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? That's a big statement, because there's a lot of instruction in the Bible, a lot of commandments. And so Jesus said, you know what? He said, the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And he said, the second greatest command in the Bible is like unto it. And he said, that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's pretty amazing that Jesus, he had a way of being able to put things so simply, and he took the whole Bible, a whole big, thick Bible, and he basically summed it up in one word. Can anybody tell me what's that word? Yeah, it's in first blank in your hand out there is the word love. He took the whole Bible and just summarized it in one word. He said it's all about love. What a great theme, you know, for Valentine's Day. And just as Jesus taught his disciples, his followers, that's the greatest commandment, here's what else he taught him. You ready for this? Jesus taught his followers, his disciples, that he said, you know what, guys? The one characteristic that's going to identify to other people the fact that you're my disciples, you're my followers. He said, the one thing that's going to identify that you're my follower, is your love. In your handout in John 13:35, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you go to church in small group every week. No. It's great to do, but that's not what he said. He said, they're going to know the outstanding characteristic that lets people know you're my follower. Look at it. If you have what? Love one to another. Wow. I mean, does that not just, wow. You let that sink in, and that'll cause you to be nice to the waitress today, amen, at the restaurant. Be a little more patient with your neighbor. Be a little more loving with your family. That'll cause you to be a little bit kinder, a little bit more gracious, a little bit more forgiving of people. He said, that's the thing that lets people know you're mine, is that you're such a loving person. God wants his family to be known for its love more than anything else. In the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the church, he mentioned love over 100 times in 13 books. In fact, he echoed what Jesus said as far as it being the crowning virtue above everything else. Paul taught the church the same thing Jesus did. Paul said in Romans 13, 9 and 10, he named several of the 10 commandments, you know, don't lie and don't steal and don't commit adultery and all these things. And then he said, but you know what? You can take all that and summarize it in one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? I don't need a commandment that says don't steal if I love you. Amen? Right? I mean, if I love you, love takes care of those things, doesn't it? I think that's what Paul had in mind when he said that, you know, if we're led of the Spirit, we're not under the law. Because if I'm led of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. 1 Corinthians 13 is where I had you turn, right? Look at the last verse in that chapter. Doesn't it teach that love is the crowning virtue? Look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. He said, so now abides faith, hope, and if you've got an old King James, say charity. It just means love if you look it up. Just an old English word for love. So he says, now abides faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. By the way, this is why it's really important that every believer be in regular, close fellowship with other believers, because it's in that fellowship that you develop the fruit of loving and thereby truly make your life count and have significance. It's like I said in my membership, I had two membership classes last week, one on Wednesday, one on Saturday. Some of you may have been in there. And I said, it's so important, even if it's not Crossroads, that you find a church home. You need a local church home. I said, because it's there that that becomes your church family. And it's there that you say, I'm going to love and be loved. And that's where you learn that. A small group, even more so. Because you got this small knit group, kind of like a family, maybe, you know, 10, 12, 15, 20 people. And it's like there you learn how to love. Here's the thing. Love cannot be learned in isolation. Love cannot be learned in isolation. Listen, you don't learn how to love on a deserted island all by yourself. Now, there are times when that looks pretty good, doesn't it? Right? But you don't learn how to love that way. You don't learn how to love in your closet. Now, listen, nothing wrong with some alone time. We all need that. And alone time is awesome. But you don't learn how to love by yourself. You got to be around people. Irritating, imperfect, frustrating, exasperating people. I'm glad nobody said amen right there. No, nobody pointed that I saw. That's how you learn how to love. You got to be around people. It's what the local church is all about. Listen, we don't just put in our mission statement that our mission is love the Lord and love people, you know, for no reason. That's not just to put on a piece of paper somewhere. We mean that, you know, is that we got to learn how to love. Every believer, you got to love other people if you're going to really make your life count. That's what Jesus taught his followers. Now, how do we do that? There are three important statements I'm going to give you about love that these cannot just be up here. They got to hit you right here. And they got to like become part of you. They have to become something you're thoroughly convinced of. These statements have to be something that you really are convinced of. You really believe it if you're going to grow in love and thereby make your life truly count. The first one is this. Number one, you got to become convinced of this. Loving others is the most important part of, and if you really want to take some notes here, scratch out the word your and put my. I mean, make it even more personal. Loving others is the most important part of my life. Listen, love is not simply a good part of your life. It's the most important part of your life. Okay? What I mean by that is, look, it's good to have a spare tire in your car. But it's essential that you have brakes. Especially if you're riding with Pastor Dan. Amen? What's my point? Love is not like a spare tire that you use every once in a while when you're in a pinch. Love should be the top priority. Love should be the primary objective. Love should be the great ambition of our lives. More important than anything else. Why? Well, I want you to look at this in your notes. I want to give you a few reasons why it's the most important part. Number one, because life without love is really worthless. Life without love is really worthless. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, go to verse number 1, please. Everybody, let's start at the beginning of the chapter. And look, it says here, he says, I show you a more excellent way. And then he says, look at this. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, he said, I am nothing. If I give all my goods to feed the poor and I give my body to be burned and I have not love, it profits me what? Nothing. You see, guys, oftentimes we act as if relationships are something to be squeezed into our schedule. We're trying to, you know, maybe find time for our kids, or we're trying to make time for people in our lives. And that kind of gives the impression that relationships are just a part of our lives along with many other tasks. But God says, Jesus said that relationships are what life is really all about. Remember what Jesus said, greatest commandment is to love God. Second greatest commandment is to love others. In your handout, it says, after learning to love God, that's worship, right? We learn to love others. That's what life's all about. It says learning to love God, learning to love people. That's what life is all about. Remember this. I'm serious. I want you to really remember what I'm about to say. Relationships, not achievements, and not the acquisition of things. Relationships are what matters most in life. But here's what happens, inevitably. When our schedules become overloaded, and that happens to all of us, but when our schedules start to get overloaded, what we do is we start skimming relationally. Excuse me just a second here. Clayton brought me water in the 8:30. I was coughing. Last Sunday, I preached three times, like I always do, and I had just enough left in the tank. I was coming down with something, and I had just enough left in the tank to get through the 11:30 service, and my voice was gone for 2 days after that. My wife loved that, but I didn't. Drove me crazy. But what happens is this. We begin, when our schedules get busy, we start skimming relationally. We begin cutting back on giving the time and the energy and the attention that loving relationships require. You know, and it happens in marriages, it happens to families, it happens at work, it happens. And what's the most important thing to God gets displaced by what's urgent. And there's a great statement I got in your handout. And remember this one, okay? You ready? Let's bring it up on the screen. Busyness is the great enemy of relationships. Busyness is the great enemy of relationships. We become preoccupied. And there, by the way, there's nothing wrong with any of these things. But we become preoccupied with making a living. We've got to do that. But we become preoccupied with, you know, doing our work. That's great. Need to do our work. Paying bills. Got to do that. Grocery shopping, we all need to eat, amen. Running here or there, but what happens is, nothing wrong with any of those things, but we do those things and we go through the tasks as if that's the point of life, and they're not. I mean, we got to work to pay the bills, but that's not the point of life. The point of life is learning to love God and love people and love everyone, not just who you choose to love. But not just love people who love you, but love everyone. Life minus love equals zero. Life minus love equals a big fat zero. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter how famous you are. Doesn't matter how powerful you are. It doesn't matter, you know, how rich you are. Life minus love equals zero. Amen. Amen. Thought I'd amen myself in a different voice, you know. It's so true. There's a second reason why love is the most important thing in your life. You ready? Number two. I want you to write this in. It's because love will last forever. And that's the point here in 1 Corinthians 13 when he talks about now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, the idea is that it's going to last forever. Look at verse number 7 in our text. He says there that love, verse 7, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Notice, endures. It'll endure through everything. It endures all things. Love never fails. He says if there's prophecies, they shall fail. There's going to come a time when they won't be necessary, right? All prophecy will be fulfilled. If there are tongues, they shall cease. If there is knowledge, it shall vanish. But he says, love endures. He's drawing a comparison here. And of course, all those things are great, but he says love leaves a legacy. Love leaves a legacy. Listen, how you treat other people, how you love people, that's the most enduring impact that you can leave on the earth. Not your wealth and not your accomplishments. Unfortunately, you know, I've had to be with a lot of people on their deathbed. A lot. And, you know, it's a tough thing. It really is. You know, and I've been with a lot of people that I love very much, including my own father who died on this day, February 16th. It's a tough day for me. My dad died on this day, and I was with him. And I've been with a lot of people on their deathbed, and you know I've never heard one person ever say, bring me my diplomas. I want to look at them one more time. Bring me my awards and my medals. Bring me the gold watch they gave me at work after 40 years. Never had anybody say that. Do you know, I've never had anybody say, bring me my safe and my lockbox so I can hug it. Never had anybody ask for their safe or their lockbox. When people are taking their final breath, they don't surround themselves with objects. What we want around us is people. People that we love, people that we have relationships with. And I think in our final moments, everyone realizes that relationships are really what life's all about. But in your handout, it says wisdom is learning that truth sooner rather than later. Wisdom's learning that while you're still got a pulse, while you're still breathing, while you still got life. Wisdom is learning that right now. Wise, discerning people get a hold of that thing sooner rather than later. Don't wait until your deathbed to figure it out. You know, I've got a picture here, and I told the 8:30 service, I said, no one there has the opportunity to enhance one relationship in their life. No one there has an opportunity to give some grace and forgiveness to someone in their life that really needs that. Nobody in that picture has the opportunity to give someone a hug, to tell them they love them, you know, to just spend some time on the phone with a loved one. No one in that picture has a chance to enhance any relationships in their lives. That opportunity's gone for them, but it's not for you. And when we get to heaven, God's not going to say, tell me about your career. Tell me about your bank account. Tell me about your hobbies. God is going to evaluate our lives based on two key questions. Did you love me? God's going to want to know. And did you love people? And every day our prayer should be, God, I don't want to waste this day. Help me to spend some time loving you and loving people. Love leaves a legacy. And I'm going to say this. I was thinking about this. If we love fervently, if we love people, people will tend to remember that and not our mistakes. How many of you have ever made mistakes? How many of you have ever just done boneheaded stuff you wish you'd go back and do over? How many of you have ever hurt someone and sinned against somebody? But you know what? If you're by and large just known as a loving person, people won't remember those things. They won't focus on your faults and failures and on all the obnoxious parts of you, because we all got that. If you're loving, people will tend to not focus on all that. They'll just remember you as a loving person. Love leaves a legacy. I want to give you the second thing, though. There's a second statement I want you to become convinced of, and here it is. Loving others is best expressed through the giving of your time. So we said, number one, loving others is the most important part of your life. But number two, loving others is best expressed through the giving of your time. Time's a great indicator. What do I mean by that? The more time you give to something, the more you reveal its importance and its value to you. Many of you in here haven't missed a Sunday this year. You've been here every week. Why? That shows that you put value on this, because you carve out time every week to be in church. You know, and so what you do is you're showing by your time that you put value on what we're doing right now. If you really want to know a person's priorities, follow them around for a couple weeks. Don't really do that. You'll get arrested for stalking, all right? But if you really, I'm serious, if you really wanted to know what a person's priorities are, all you'd have to do is shadow them for about a month and see how they use their time. What's the most precious gift that you have? Well, don't answer that out loud. I just want you to think about it. What's the most precious gift you have? I mean, is it money? Well, no, I mean, you can get more of that. Is it things? No, they're going to get old and wear out. You can get more things. I think the most precious gift that we have is time, because you only got a set amount of that. Isn't it interesting that no matter how rich or poor you are, no matter what area of town you live in, no matter which side of the tracks you're on, so to speak, when it comes to time, it's a level playing field. You know what? I don't care who the richest person in Daytona is or the poorest person that may be homeless out here. Guess what? They both got 24 hours today. Time is kind of, it's an even playing field, right? On a daily basis. And whenever you give someone your time, you're giving them a portion of your life that you'll never get back. Your time is your life. And that's why the greatest gift that you can give someone is your time. It's not enough to simply say relationships are important. We have to prove it by investing time in them. And it says in your handout there that relationships take effort, and the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E, time. That's the best way to spell love. And the very next statement in your handout says the very essence of love is giving of yourself. That's the best, it's giving, that's what love is, it's giving of yourself. Listen, Jesus was such an example, wasn't he? Look in your handout at that verse. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Would you guys agree with me? Jesus didn't just say he loved us, he proved it. He gave his life on that cross for our sins. Why? So that we could be close to him. So that we could have a relationship with him. So that we could live with him forever. Jesus Christ gave of himself. And I think sometimes, guys, I preach to the guys a little bit. I'm one of you. I think sometimes that we have a harder time getting this concept than ladies do. And I've heard guys tell, many guys through the years, "I don't understand my wife. I don't understand my kids. I provide everything they need. And I try to give them everything they want, and they still gripe. What more could they ask for?" And I'm like, you really want to know? If you really want to know the answer to that question, go look in the mirror. They want you. They want your eyes, your ears, your time, your attention, your presence, your focus. They want your time. Nothing can take the place of that. You know, and when you're there, you're really there. In other words, it's not enough to just be home every night. You got to be present in the moment. You can't just be in front of the laptop or in front of the TV or in front of, you know, on your cell phone. When you're there, you're really there. Love means giving up preferences and comfort and goals and security and money and energy or time for the benefit of somebody else. Loving others is best expressed through the giving of our time. Number three, last thing is this. This is the third statement you got to be convinced of. Loving others should be done now. In your handout, 1 John 3 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him?" What's the point God's saying? If you're going to love someone, don't wait until tomorrow. Do it now. Why? Because you don't know how long you're going to have the opportunity. Circumstances change. People die. Children grow up. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. So if you want to express love, do it right now. So as we think about these things, I think it's very helpful to ask ourselves a few penetrating questions. And I think one of those would be, if I stood before God right now, praise the Lord, we don't have to do that today, but, you know, and you still got time, right, to change. But if we had to stand before God today, would God be pleased with my life? Would he see that I've put projects and material things and put more importance on those than people, or would he not? You know, that's a great question. Another great question is, who do you need to start spending more time with? And then the next question is, what do you need to cut out of your schedule to make that possible? What sacrifices do you maybe need to make? Those are great questions to wrestle with. At the bottom of your handout, it says, here's a great Valentine's reminder. And basically, each one of these statements mirrors the three points I gave you. Number one, the best use of life is love. That's the most important thing. That's the goal of life, right? Number two, the best expression of love is time. And by the way, I'm just going to say this before I give you the last blank, because if I give you the last blank, nobody's going to listen to anything else I have to say. I'll just say this. We're very close to our kids, you know, and even now that they're adults. And I will just say this to you, that there are no big stellar things that we did. You know, we did not have a college fund for our kids. And nothing wrong with that. We didn't do that. They each paid their way through college. We didn't give them a car when they turned 16. We didn't have the money to do that. We didn't give them a car. They had to get their own car. And when I look at the closeness that we have, we just spent ample amounts of time with them on a daily basis. That was it. We just spent time with them. And there were other things that we could have done. But that's the key to us. And even Caleb, you know, Caleb's our youngest, and he's moved to Colorado Springs in August. And that's been very hard because we're very close. And it's great when he comes and visits. Bad when he leaves. And, you know, we're just human beings. And, you know, when he left the last time, I woke up in the middle of the night because my wife was weeping when he left the last time. We love our kids. We care about them and we love them so much.
And the key to that closeness is just time. Just ample amounts of time. Let me tell you something. Kids need time with their parents. They just need to know you love them. And the best expression of love is time. Look at verse 13 again. Let's end with that. He says, so now abides faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Let's pray.